Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Ah, Penn's Tavern. What a beautiful view of the river. Incredible. Have the WKOK crew here today. John Kerry's running the show. The suit right now is in a fetal position over at Pocono. And I guess he's going to be showing up here at some point, but our special guest. And I told him, look, if you're going to show up, I'm going to have you on with me for the whole thing. Chris Wheeler, my good friend. Wheels, great to see you.
I don't know what to say, Steve. I'm very excited to be here because when I left yesterday, they said, you know, this is a Phillies affiliate now, WKOK. Make sure you talk about the Phillies. I said, I'll mix it in. But this is going to be about Penn State football because that's what I want to talk about.
We have a lot to talk about. We will talk about the Phillies here at some point. But the opener is going to be a week from Saturday. Give me a gauge down in Bluebell. Wheels from Bluebell. You know, the funny thing is my first class was today. So I always ask the name, hometown, favorite team. I had a kid in there from Bluebell.
Really? Great.
I said, well, I'm going to be seeing Wheels today. He goes, you know Chris Wheeler. I said, yeah, we've crossed paths.
What a thrill for you, whether you know me. Yeah. Well, the look, you and I have talked about this before, and I've been in sports my whole life. And our area down there especially is slightly impatient. Good way to put it, I think. So, you know, everybody will come up and, what do you think of Franklin? And I say, I love him. And then they'll look at me and go, what? What do you mean? I said, you realize what they have been trying to do the last few years? Like Charlie Manuel used to say when we were under man, he says, I feel like a one-legged man in a butt-kicking contest. Well,
in a butt-kicking contest.
So to me, Steve, that's what it's been, as you well know. And, you know, I have a big picture of the whole thing. And I've always said, you know, if that guy in that same staff, basically, that's here could do what they did at Vanderbilt in the SEC, what do you think could possibly happen at Penn State when they can get their own players? So relax.
How much has it helped you the couple of times you've gone to practice to give you that perspective and the opinion you have?
Well, obviously that helps. You know, as you well know, I've known you for so long, and I have a very good friend, Brian Unst, who lives in Clearwater, is a mayor of Clearwater, is a big Penn State guy, and he was very good friends with Bill Kenny and then became friends with some of the guys on Coach O'Brien's staff and now on Coach Franklin's staff. So, yeah, I've been around a little bit and been able to get a little bit inside over the last few years, and sure it helps. And I was at a scrimmage this year right before the blue-white game, and I saw the new offense. I went home and told a couple of people. I said, you're not going to believe this. I said, they don't huddle. I said, they got defensive linemen pausing to puke. It's. I can say that, right? I already did.
I can tell you which one did.
Yeah, well, I saw that happen. You know, I saw it happen because they said it happened before, and another kid was over in the sidelines. So it was really, really mind-boggling to watch that and to watch the – I think there's a train there.
This is confirmation that you and I are on the other side of the tracks.
And have been my whole life. I feel like I'm at Shea Stadium in the old days when the planes would go over from LaGuardia. And somebody says, is there an airport near here? Yeah. But watching the quarterbacks sorely, you know, to watch the things that they were doing, and they never huddled. And they would go up the line of scrimmage, and then they'd look over the sideline, and they'd have all these stuff up in the air like you see in other games. And then they'd go back, and then they, all of a sudden they'd look over there again. So I can't wait to hear you describe all this stuff because it's very different.
It's completely different. But you know what? What's interesting about it is the fan, of course, will ask, and it's a good question. It's a legitimate question. But that's from watching so much football. So when they watch a lot of football and they hear commentators talk about changing plays at the line of scrimmage, and Joe Moorhead has a great answer for that. We were in Scranton, And someone asked that question. Good question. And so Joe says, all right, let me give it to you in these terms. I put 80 to 90 hours a week watching tape and game planning and all the options. My quarterback puts in 20 hours a week, including weightlifting. I think I got it.
Wow, well, there you go. I mean, what a great answer. And nowadays, from what they were explaining to me that day, is when you don't huddle, then you have all that time to observe, you know, what package you're up against, and then you're able to substitute against it or to check out of something. And then they were telling me that day that, and you can talk about right or wrong, that the kid still has the ability when he gets to the line of scrimmage at the last minute to get out of it if he has to.
Exactly, because if they see something, they're allowed to say, let's go, and they can do it. And there's a couple of options off of it that they can use. Now, you have two quarterbacks. The glory of this is that two things. It fits the quarterbacks. That's big. And for the offensive linemen, they don't have to hold the block as long, and that's big.
Well, that's what they were showing us that day, and that's why the defensive linemen were tired. Because they were running so many plays in Haluba that day. And the defensive guys, I mean, Coach Spencer, yeah. Chaos. Yep. He was trying to get them in and out as quick as he can and rest them a little bit. But the way they were substituting, and then they were bringing in wave after wave of receivers because, you know, you'll tell better than me, but, I mean, I know Godwin and some of these kids that have been there the last few years, and then you see Charles and some of these other ones, the guys that are up there, and they're 6'4", 6'5". They're men when you look at them. So that was really cool to see them bring in. And then, of course, you got, you know, they're hoping. At that time, they weren't using Barkley much, but they were telling us that they hope to have four backs by the time the season started, if, in fact, see, they want to talk about Sanders, but.
Right. They have four backs.
Right. Okay. See, I don't want
they have four backs.
I know something I don't. But they were talking that way, that they had three, and they hoped to have four when the new class came in. They were putting it that way.
Right. They have four. What's interesting about, you know, people see no huddle, okay? No huddle does not always mean fast. Peyton Manning is a good example of that on the pro level. Peyton Manning did not huddle in his career with the Indianapolis Colts, especially, and with the Broncos. Yet how many times did you see Peyton Manning get the clock down to three or four? And that creates impatience on the defense because you're there and they don't know when you're going to snap it. So Joe has four different tempos. Now, I have one, slower.
you would. I can't wait to hear you and Jack. You and Jack do it, and just to see what happens. And the other thing they were telling us that day was they think the backs are going to, you know, be forces out of the backfield catching the ball too, because that's part of the offense, right?
It's a huge part of it, and Barkley's really good at it. Barkley's a really good receiver out of the backfield. Allen's a natural at it, and Allen's interesting because with his size, he's hard to find sometimes. Andre Robinson, same thing. He's not a big guy either, but he lost 7 pounds. He got down to 213. And when I watched him in practice last year at 220, Chris, I thought, okay, he's about a 4 or 5 yard hammer kind of guy between the tackles. When he got to 213, and in this offense, he gained a half step. And that made a big difference. And Sanders has all the tools I think you could ask for in a young running back, and a great example in Barkley. Barkley and Sanders roomed together in the preseason. It's made a difference because Barkley may be a sophomore. Barkley's a leader. And you know the value on the pro level of leadership. On the college level, the less a coach has to lead and the more the players lead, it's preferred. And, you know, you've been around champions, and certain championship teams have great leaders.
Is it true that it's tough to play as a true freshman because of the adjustment to just being away from home? And as you said, the classes start up and the weight, all the things that they have to do. Is that a different world for them?
Oh, it's a completely different world because today was the first day of classes. And now, for the veterans, okay, it's all part of the natural realm. What helps the freshmen is that they do come in June, and so they go through the summer session. That helps them accumulate credits, get used to an academic world, get used to the counseling, get used to the Morgan Academic Center, and they also have to practice for 10 days while still going to class. That's why there's only 1 week of two-a-days. That 1 week of two-a-days happens because that's the only week between the end of summer session and today, which is the beginning of class. So I walk out of my class today about 9 o'clock because I had an 8 o'clock class to teach. I think I got there at 8:45. No, I'm just and I walked out. First guy sees Godwin. Second guy sees Torrence Brown. I mean, they're all out and about. So I think the biggest issue for a freshman is that they're given the acclimation of going to class in the summer, so that helps. But I think the biggest issue is you're out there against comparable talent. Yeah. So the jump from high school to college, where now you've weeded out talent to get there, and then it's an exponential jump from college to the pros because you've weeded out talent there, which you've seen at the highest level. I mean, the difference of going to a Williamsport game versus the difference of going to a Phillies game is a completely different proposition because of the leap in talent.
I'm asking you questions because why not?
It's fine, let's go.
Yeah, because I want to know this stuff. Barkley and Sanders. Barkley, what jumped out at you right away was unbelievable ability to jump cut and do this. Just stop on a dime and move in a different direction. Other skills, too, big time, speed and all that. What does Sanders have that would be the skill that jumps out at you?
Speed to get to the edge, good instincts. He makes good choices. If it's not here, I can get over here. If I have to get to the outside and get to the outside, he'll get through the hole. He does not a lot of wasted motion when he runs the ball. Barkley has become all of that and has become a good blocker in the offense. Barkley also has done a better job of running routes like a pass receiver. There's only one back in There's only two backs in the NFL that I think run routes like a receiver. Sproles with the Eagles and Le'Veon Bell with the Steelers. Now you watch when Bell comes down, boom, gets in the middle, he'll plant, he'll juke inside and cut out, and that's hard for a linebacker to handle. Barkley does some of that, which for a sophomore at 19 years old isn't bad. And Charles and Johnson, the two outside guys, they give an element that Penn State needs. They need to get more separation with receivers. And Charles in particular gives separation in two ways. One, he gets separation because he's a long strider and has speed. Number two, he gets separation on height. Sometimes you can be covered, but if I put the ball here and you're down here, you can't get it. You can get separation in two different ways with a wide receiver that has speed. Charles a little bit more so on separation than Johnson, but they both have it. And that's just adds another dimension to go with Blacknall. Hamilton in the slot's a natural. It's where he should be. And Godwin. And Godwin's concentration is exemplary, as you've seen.
When you talk about a guy that can go deep in those, does that separation really, is that really important for guys to get open, say, underneath, because it pushes everybody back? They got to chase them?
Yeah, you have to chase them. Now you've got to roll a safety. Well, if you have to roll a safety to cover up for him, that means the safety spot's open. That then makes Mike Gesicki a real possibility. And Gesicki, all right, everybody calm down when I say this. Just calm down when I say it, because you've heard me say it before. Gesicki has had a great preseason. All right. Now, you're not going to believe me until you actually see it in a game, and I completely agree with you because that's the separator. I mean, Parker Cothran's always been interesting, the defensive tackle. Parker Cothran's a much better game player than he is practice player. Okay. Deep down, I like that part. That doesn't bother me. I don't want a guy that's an awesome practice player and then in the game, because guess what? That's where the W's and L's happen. Sean says we have to take a break. We've only been on for 3 minutes.
We're just getting warmed up.
We've only been on. It's only 3 minutes. Felt like 3 minutes.
More like 15. Time flies. We're having fun.
Where's the suit? We'll come back with more in a moment. We are at Penn's Tavern. What a place. First, I walked in today. What a place. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. Yeah, Drew says 3 minutes. That's great. I've heard Drew's show. We got 20. Welcome back, Steve Jones. Chris Wheeler. We promised a special guest. We got one. All right. We'll talk defense in the next half hour, but I do have to ask you about the Phillies. Okay. All right. Obviously, we're looking at all the prospects. How important is it going to be for the organization to time certain things that are beneficial to the organization while also beneficial to the product?
Baseball is a game that everybody thinks they can play. It looks so easy because they played some softball or whatever, and it's really, really, really hard. I know you're a big baseball fan. I'll tell you this. And a lot of football fans have no clue or don't care. But the game is very difficult to play, and it's why we don't have 18-year-olds become instant major league players the way they become. They can come right out of the college ranks and play NFL football and NBA basketball. Doesn't happen. They say, why? In my opinion, there's so much repetition involved in baseball. So that's what it comes down to, Steve, is they have to repeat, repeat, repeat. And then people in the major league level, you have to be careful not to build them up too much, because sometimes major league people forget what a jump it is from AA, AAA to the major leagues. It's huge. So they have some ideas of a schedule of some. The bottom line is, it sounds like we have talent.
Yeah.
But you know what? They're suspects, right? They're prospects, but they're suspects. Charlie used to always say, and I love Charlie because he's so many words of wisdom, but he'd say, ain't nothing harder than being a big league, everyday Major League Baseball player. And it is hard.
Right.
When we had Utley, Rollins, and Howard playing every day, it was unusual to be able to produce three guys out of your farm system like that. So that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah, that is what they're, I mean, and that makes the difficult part right there as to, you know, the fact that they're doing it. That's hard. And, you know, because I see the entry level all the time. Williamsport State College, I see it all the time. And you know what I find out with these guys right away? Is that they may go on a 5-game hit streak, and they feel they're one day away from disaster. Hey, the game teaches you that.
Well, you know, it's interesting because you and I had a conversation 3 years ago, I think, and you really like Roman Quinn. And so do we. But we can't keep him healthy. And everything about him, I saw him in spring training for the first time this year. He looks a little bit like Jimmy. Facially, smiles, he's got his personality. Little guy. Tools, big time tools. And what happened this year? He got hurt again and missed a couple months. So what's his progression? Well, every time you think this kid is progressing, he gets hurt. Now, we got two kids at Reading right now hit 35 home runs apiece. That's big time. I don't care where they are. Now, are they going to play in the major leagues and hit home runs? I don't know. But, boy, when you can knock in 100 runs.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Yes, yes, the Olympics are over. Two words for that. Thank God. All right, so no need to waste time on that every single night. Look, team handball, great, fabulous sport. All right, So let's get to, we talked about the Phillies. You can now go back. You can now go back.
We did.
All right. Check mark.
Checked it off.
Okay. So let's get to defense. Yeah, let's get to defense.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing I want to talk to you about it, obviously, because offensively, as everybody's talking about it, but you lose three great players
yes.
on the defensive line. Everybody knows that linebacker's a little thin for a variety of reasons. It sounds like they're really happy at corner and that they're improving in the safety area or that they're going to be able to rotate a little bit back there in nickels and dimes and that sort of stuff. So tell me.
All right. So they've got Johnson will be the hardest guy to replace. I mean, of the three guys, he's the hardest. And Nassib, I would have said, would be in the running with him, except Nassib the last month didn't play a lot. And I think people forget that. And he really was not 100% when he played against Georgia either. So Sickles is really good. Mm-hmm. Schwann is better than he was. Brown is really good off the edge. And Buchholz is a prospect worthy of taking a long, hard look at. And then they've got a fifth guy in Sharif Miller. So at end, they've got five guys that I think they can competently rotate and keep guys fresh against the offenses you and I see all the time, these spread offenses. Now, inside, Parker Cothran, remember I was telling the first segment we were talking about, he's a great game player, has never been a great practice player. He's been a really good practice player this preseason. It's the best I've seen in practice. Kevin Givens brings defensive end quickness to the tackle spot. And what I like about him is that Curtis Cothran, who was also making that move from outside, and Curtis Cothran always has that tendency of a defensive end to still getting up a little bit, which then gives the lineman leverage. Givens plays low, and he's quick. Antoine White's another guy that I think gives them, I think Antoine White can give them 20, 25 plays a game and help them out. Robert Windsor is a guy that slow start, now really is coming on and things are going well for him. And then Ryan Monk gives them a fifth guy at the moment. Linebacker, yeah, we talked about that a little bit, about Cooper and Wortman and Kabinda, Bell, Bowen. You know, that's five guys right there, Chris. And you can, quote, get by with five guys. Now, Brandon Smith from Winfield just down the road has had a really, really good preseason. Brandon Smith is going to be on a couple of special teams, kickoff cover, things like that. So Brandon Smith's going to get some playing time, and he's worked hard. He's a good player. You mentioned the corners. Everybody jumps to Grant Haley right away, and I understand that because he's the guy that everybody knows about. He's played, and he's not a guy you're going to beat deep because he's faster than the guy he's playing. But John Reed has a chance, if he stays healthy, not this year, but maybe next year or the year after, to be a first-team All-American at corner. He's that good. Instincts are exemplary. Cover skills, exemplary. Closing speed, exemplary. And now I'm going to go to draw this to baseball. Football and baseball are both games of angles. I mean, Chris, how many times have you talked about an outfielder, really good outfielders take great routes to balls, right?
I mean,
absolutely. It's huge.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't take a great route to the ball, you can have all the speed in the world. You're not going to get to it because you didn't track it.
And you have to. The other thing is what you're probably going to bring about in football, routes and angles and all that stuff. There's anticipation involved that you literally have to do something in baseball. When the guy swings a bat and the ball's in the air, you already have to be moving, and I'm sure there's something like that in football.
That's exactly right, and that's where it comes in with Reed. Reed sees, and he believes it, okay? And that's how you jump it, and he's like that. Now, what helps is that they wanted to get some good backup corner play. Let's face it, you have to be too deep everywhere in today's game. Campbell's back, and Campbell, who got off to a rocky start last year, I mean, Christian Campbell didn't play really that well early last season. Season went along, he got himself back in the mix. He's had a really good preseason. And in fact, I think, you know, I think he has a chance to be part of their sub packages. And Amani Oruwariye,
yeah,
known on our broadcast as Amani. Jack looks at me, he says, Steve, how are we going to handle this? I said, I'll handle it. I said, all you have to say is, what a play by Amani. Now, there's a case of a young guy doing things by the numbers And when you're doing things by the numbers, you're thinking. And you and I have carved careers out by not thinking.
There's instincts involved in it. There's instincts involved.
The less you and I think, the better. You know? But that's because you're prepared. All right? Malik Golden's a good safety. Marcus Allen's a big year for him. He is a, you know, he's played a year and a half. And people forget the first half of his freshman year. He didn't play a lot. Second half he did last year. He's banged up with that shoulder last year. Now he's healthy. It's made a difference. And this is a big year for him because he is a prototype of what a college safety should look like. I think Apke has had a fabulous preseason. I mean, he can run and he can now read. Bob Shoup, you know, who had been the safeties coach, worked repeatedly with him on developing instincts. And Tim Banks has now got him playing instinctively. And, you know, Koa Farmer's better. And Koa Farmer is a natural athlete. The thing about Koa Farmer, it's going to be interesting with him the next couple of years, Chris. What weight can they keep him at? Because he's at 225. Boy, you look at him and you say that you look at Koa's build and you see that speed and you say, golly, if he's 232, he's a pretty good outside linebacker. You know, that's what you look at.
Yeah, yeah. And I was going to ask you about Koa Farmer because he's such a freak athlete. When you know, put him back there and ran some kickoffs back last year, and he was a factor in those things. But I always wondered what he was, you know, whether he's a tweener, one of those tweener guys, because, and then I, you know, you try to read between the lines a little bit and you're trying to figure out, is he having trouble figuring things out? And I don't know. Does he?
That's a good question. Because when they came here and they're in the throes of sanctions. Okay. And I'll give you, let me give her, before I get to the Koa for a second, I'll give you one sanction stat that I think says it all. We know the last 3 years, Christian Hackenberg was the number one guy being sacked in the country. He was sacked 103 times. Who was second? Cody Kessler of USC with 100. What did USC go through that Penn State was going through? Oh, sanctions. See, okay, when you draw out the line. Okay, now let's go back to Koa because it does relate to sanctions. When they got here, they put him at outside linebacker because they needed linebackers because sanctions, they had been robbed of linebackers. And he had trouble adjusting there to the outside. But that's because he had never played that close to the line of scrimmage before. And when I talked to Sean Lee was a high school safety, converted to an outside linebacker. I asked him, Sean, what was the biggest transition for you? And he said it was the hand fighting. He said, I can cover the pass, I can do a drop, I can play in space, but the hand fighting is the part I had to get used to. And that's what Koa had to get used to. But he also had to try and get used to it as a true freshman. Now he's a redshirt sophomore, and for the last 2 years they've had him back at safety. He might be down the road, if safety doesn't work out for him, to be better equipped to maybe play that spot down the road because he's older, more mature, stronger, and by going through it at least once has a better understanding of what it means. So, I mean, it's you can put guys, if you dangle the carrot of playing time, guys can learn a lot of things.
And when you watch him, it's like in our sport, he looks like he's one of those kids you cannot teach certain things to. He's just instinctive. He's an athlete. If you're talking about, like you just did, a kid playing linebacker and safety, and he's running back kickoffs, now granted, we'd rather have one of those jets back there that other teams do. I want you to talk about that. And if we have a punt returner who won't fair catch all the time, you know, that as a fan, and I understand that the most important thing is, and they tried that last year, to run with it, and there were some fumbles involved, and then Garrity was the guy to catch it, and okay. Don't make any mistakes. Now, I understand all that. But that was something I really wanted to ask. Is there anything, I don't want you to give it away, but is there anything you can see where you can finally have somebody that might be able to run back a punt once in a while?
They're still in the process of that. It's still down to four guys. I don't think they've made up their mind yet as to which guy is the primary guy. So that part's a little bit in flux. I think when it comes to kickoffs, that I think they're a little further along as to who the people are, as to what order it's in. But not punch yet.
Are the depth issues starting to level off a little bit? Because that, you know, you're afraid to put anybody back there that if you lost them, you don't have anybody to replace them.
And that's the, he has 81 guys now. And that makes 81 scholarship guys among the 105. And that makes a big difference because they were down to 63, I think, at one point, which is what Bucknell has. Bucknell has 63 scholarship guys. Yeah, Penn State had 63 guys in 2013 and 66, 67 in 2014. And it's just numbers. And you can see the fact that, for example, I was talking about corner depth. Well, now Amani can play and Campbell can play. And you still got a couple of other guys behind them. Now, the third team guys, John Patrician at safety. John Patrician's a good football player at safety. Nick Scott's a third team safety. Nick Scott's a good player. Jonathan Thomas, they moved from running back to outside linebacker, has made a really, really nice transition. But I still go back to the fact that a major statement to me was Dowry and Gaia going from defensive line to offensive line. That was a big, that told you a lot about where they stood. So the depth, you have plenty of wideouts, plenty of running backs, quarterbacks. I wouldn't mind if there's one more tight end. I wouldn't mind if there was another defensive tackle. And trying to think. That's pretty much it. I'd like that one more linebacker. I'd like that one more linebacker. There's no question about that.
You, I know you for so long, and you talk about it too, is you go to practice and you watch practice because that's a way to learn things. How important is it for them now to get to the point where the scholarship first team type of guy is playing against somebody who is also that good, and even the backup guys are good? Do you get better as a team that way?
No question. It's like, for example, in a pitcher, a pitcher throws a simulated game. Who do you want hitting against him in the simulated game? I mean, seriously, who do you want?
Yeah, good point.
Right,
Pitcher
throws a simulated game. You want some guys that are legit guys that are going to face his stuff that he's going to see when he goes back out there. Same thing with this. When you have your competition has to be really strong and get pushed. And I don't want to – I get concerned when I watch practices – that are so weighted one way. The defense won again today. What I like about this camp is every day there's been a different winner. The offense has won its fair share. The defense has won its fair share. That tells me you've got a better rounded team. That's what I saw in 5. In 5 and 8, for example.
Yeah.
Right? The defense wasn't winning all the time. The offense was kicking their tail part of the time, where like the defense is saying, "We okay? We're all right." Then they get in the game, and go, "Yeah, we're okay." It's just the offense is just that good, and that's what you're seeing here: better balance of who's winning the day. Now the punter is going to be a big part of it, and changing field position is going to be a big part, which we'll talk about in a moment as we continue from Penn's Tavern on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Load up on service and savings when you buy a new Kubota B-Series compact tractor. Get a 6-year limited powertrain warranty, plus save big on performance-matched implements, and get 0% down, 0% APR financing for up to 5 years. Visit your local Kubota dealer before September 30th for this exceptional deal. If you wait too long, they'll all be gone. Now through September 30th, 2016. Call toll-free 1-800-794-4992 for details about costs and terms. For complete warranty details, see Kubota.com or your authorized Kubota dealer.
Visit your local Kubota dealer, pakubotadealers.com.
I'm Paul George of the Indiana Pacers. When I was 6, my days were spent playing basketball. When I was 6, my dream was to make it to the NBA. When I was 6, my mom had a stroke. So I want you to learn to spot a stroke fast. F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. S, speech difficulty. T, time to call 911. I'm Paul George. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Penn's Tavern. Great to have you with us. It's a nice theme song, I thought.
Oh, wow. I'm getting ready. Renee and I were talking about before I left the house this morning, because she, you know her, and she, what a fan she is, and a grad and all that. And she was listening to her XM college radio station, or anyway, they were talking about the Nets this morning. So she had to call me right away. Oh, I bet Steve's excited about it. I can't wait. And I said, well, every time I hear that music, it sends the old hairs up the back of your neck. It just does.
It does. Now, before we went to break, we were talking about punting. And we got so excited about it, we overmodulated. And they've got that area is going to be better. We'll see what decision he wants to make, because this is decision time. He did talk to the freshmen yesterday about where things stand. They will eventually break the scout team. I think tomorrow night might be the – there's no practice today. There's no practice today. Today's the first day of class, so you get to go to class and do nothing else. Then they're going to practice tomorrow evening. And at this point, that's where, for some players, they'll find out they're on scout team versus, quote, varsity team. That's hard. They got to keep themselves mentally engaged. It's that moment, for example, when the player is told, hey, Mike El Franco, you got to go to the minors. We're going to send you to AAA. When you think you've had a great spring training and you thought you made the big club, and they tell you, look, just be patient, work hard, you'll be back up. And he's back up. Well, same thing with a scout team player. They can work hard. You can get yourself back up and back into the mix. Things happen. So that's about the stage they're at now. Two-a-days are over with. And the punting part, Gilligan is very, very good. Gula is better. And Pascarella has done a good job as well. So he's got a good choice. I think actually a good choice there that helps the football team.
When they practice now, are they past the point where they have to, you always worry about injuries, because it's not the NFL, we have a waiver wire. But are they past the point, or getting to the point now where they can, I remember when Bill O'Brien was here and they didn't even tackle, what they call thud or whatever it was called, and you know. So I'm just curious, you've seen so many practices, are they getting close to a normal college practice now?
They are. They are close to normal practice. The interesting thing, let me tell you a story about thud, all right? Bill O'Brien openly talked about pass thud. You catch the ball, you wrap, and then it's like catch and release here at the River. Yeah. Okay, that's what it is. Joe Paterno ran thud every practice I was at all the time. Now, what was always great was the first time every preseason where they'd run thud, and Joe would gather the team around, and he'd explain to them what thud was. Thud, wrap them and let them go. And don't waste my time. So the difference was that Joe was never asked about running past thud. Bill was, because of the circumstances. What's interesting with college football now is this. You now have a rule. The Pac-12 put in the first informal rule on tackling, where you're only allowed contact in practice, like legitimate tackle contact, twice a week. And after a year of that, everybody else adopted it. So now you only hit twice a week. Now, Joe only hit twice a week anyway. He hit like you-know-what on Tuesday. Yeah. Less on Wednesday, zero on Thursday. None on Monday, none on Friday. Well, that's the way it's been for a long time. The Big 12 modified it. Now, only the Big 12 is doing this. They hit twice a week. One practice, and the game counts as the second one. The Ivy League is going to nobody doing that in practice, only the game. Dartmouth has done it for 5 years, and 2 years ago, Dartmouth won the Ivy League championship. Imagine how badly the other people felt. you guys don't hit in practice? Now, you hit. But there's not all that's like, no tackling, don't go after the knees, don't go after the ankle. It's a different kind of practice now. And I'm going to be interested over the next 5 years. I'm not talking about Penn State. I'm talking about the game in general. How's the game in general going to be played with everybody doing less? There's a clock. Oh, it goes to 60. Most count backwards. This one. Ah, see, this is what they do on FM. They do this on FM.
Yeah, well, when you see that there's that much time left, you vamp a little. Yeah,
as you well know. after the girl starts singing.
Oh, yeah.
This is when you and I accept an award for best talk show. And then they start playing the music now because you and I have to get out.
Right. And you hear it. You know it's that time. Oh, I understand.
I'm not done thanking my mom yet. Thank you. All right, coming up next hour, we're at Penn's Tavern. What a great location. Come on out and join us. This is fabulous. We're having a great time. Chris Wheeler's here today. Sean Carey is here. The suit was a no-show, so incentive to come on out and join us here at Penn's Tavern on WKOK.